captives, healing the brokenhearted. You know, most people, they look for the physical part of it, like they did. And you know, I thought, you know, he still does that today. It's just in a different sense. It's in a spiritual sense. Because if you ever had a broken heart, whatever it is or was, and that's something that if you know Scripture, if you know Christ, that's something only He can get to. You believe that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's things, I don't care what people say, they can, oh, you know what, I'm sorry. You know, I just got a text from a girl in Detroit, and she says, I don't know what to do. Hold me up in prayer. She's like, I just lost my job. She said, I'm sick, ready to be evicted. Car note. I mean, the whole list of things. I said, what do you say to that? And what can I pray that would help her? Other than I would just have to turn her over to God, to the Word of God, which is, that's the comfort. Because I can't. What can I do? I'm not the. I don't have an answer for that. I have an answer, but I don't have an answer. No, I can say, well, I'm really sorry, but she needs some results. But if she doesn't get those results, then what?
Mm-hmm.
She said, well, God, she says, I feel like Job, but my faith is starting to waver. Mm-hmm. Now here's where if you're not in the right program, you'll think God left you.
Mm-hmm. Right. You gotta be grounded.
Or what did I do? Romans chapter 5. Go ahead and Hebrews, Romans chapter 5. Do you know how many people feel this way?
Oh yeah.
This the fact that she says her faith is wavering,
it's shaky anyway.
God may not come in and do something.
Right.
Yep.
Because she's been told that.
She's a faithful churchgoer. Her mother was a faithful churchgoer. Her father was a deacon.
Like nothing should really ever shake your faith. You might not be happy at the time.
Right.
But if part of your faith is
tied to how
God will heal you when you need healing or saving.
Right.
Yeah.
If part of your faith is what you're reading back in the Gospels, that He's going to do all these miraculous things, and then He leaves you hanging, so to speak, then you feel like, what good is this? Look, Romans chapter 5.
You tell her God's probably trying to get closer to her.
That's what,
unfortunately.
You know what? Get her attention.
God couldn't get any closer to us today. He can't get in. He can't get any closer than being in you.
Yep. And us being in Him.
And us being in Him. You know, we just have to. That's when we started Thursday. I said, we'll spend a few weeks just on the authority of Scripture and learning how to deal with Scripture. Because God didn't leave this book for you to function on your own imagination.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll say things about the Lord, but we never take time to hear from Him. So if I said, okay, Blake, you said, okay, what do you want to eat tonight? And maybe you wrote a list. And you said, put the list on the refrigerator. And Jenny walks out, she said, I'm gonna cook tonight, and she walks right past that list. Goes to the grocery store, gets whatever she wants. Brings it back. What would you say?
Woman. Why hast thou forsaken me? Yep.
And it could be the exact opposite of what he wanted.
I'd just be surprised to see in the kitchen. we don't cook.
That's bad example.
But I see the point.
but the thing is he has chosen for his written word to be his way of communication with us. Mm-hmm. And in particular, if he sends a man to you, being Paul, then we should be acquainted with what God has to say to us through his messenger. Romans 5. Chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have what?
Peace.
Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God. You know what? He's not angry with you. I know your car broke down. You lost your job.
Must be some sin.
What have I done?
Unconfessed sin.
That God is punishing me. And he says, wait a minute. God, that's not me. You said, but my experience, you haven't read that. He said, being justified by faith, you know what, that takes out your behavior right there. Mm-hmm. Justified means to declare you righteous. He said, you've been declared righteous just by believing. So if it didn't depend on you and your behavior to be justified, why would he look at your behavior and get angry? Okay.
So we have peace.
We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. By whom? By Jesus Christ. Also, we have what? Access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. He says, we have access by faith. You know, that's a great privilege right there, where you can go to God. You have unlimited access. Anytime, anywhere, anything, by faith. I think Hebrews says, come boldly. You can come boldly to the throne of grace to find help in time of need. And you can go right to God with your petition. Philippians says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be what?
Known.
Made known. Now, he didn't say this. And if you get two or three together and believe it, I'll do it. He didn't say that. He didn't say, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, then it'll be unto you. He did say that you believe and I'll deliver. But he did say, and the peace of God will what? Keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know what? It might come to pass. It might not.
And if it does, you can lean on all that you just said.
If it does, you thank God that. You know what? And if it doesn't, you thank God.
Mm-hmm.
Because either way, he's got you covered.
Exactly.
Back to Romans. That's what you have to keep in mind. See, that's what we don't like. We want it all our way. Right. All the time. All good.
Mm-hmm.
Don't we?
Mm-hmm.
He says, 5, he says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations.
Glory in tribulations.
We what?
Glory in tribulations.
5:3. We glory in tribulations.
Well, Paul must have been a good way down the road
when he said that. You know what? This is his first book. In doctrinal sequence, and he said, we glory in tribulations also, knowing, this is what we don't know, that tribulation works what?
Patience.
Mm. And patience,
hope.
Experience. And experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Now, he's saying, when you go through those hard times, and you think that God has left, he said, this is working patience. And patience, experience. And experience, hope. It's, you know, that expectation of coming out on the other side. You know, talked to another girl and a guy last night. They called. She said, well, my divorce is final. I said, I'm sorry to hear that. I said, how you feeling? She said, I'm doing okay. And I said, I have my days. And I told her when it first started to happen, I said, listen, I said, you can't take that personal. If the guy, you know, just acts up and says, you can't take that personal. I mean, believers have hard hearts too. If they don't walk in Scripture, they'll walk in the flesh. So he can do and say anything. I said, don't take that personal. You know what? That's, you can just talk to the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Say that, yeah. You can't make that distinction. But I said, you just said, go back to God. Get to know him. I said, one day, we'll sit down and we'll laugh about this. She said, no. I'm like, yeah, we will. You just wait and see. We're almost there. Almost there. So now she laughed a little bit now. But not yet. Not quite. Because she still had a little more experience to go. And then couple of months later, we'll look back and say, remember when you felt like you couldn't go on without him, that knucklehead? And she'll laugh like that. It's like, oh. She said, I'm so glad he gone. That's experience. But getting there,
it's a rocky road.
It's rough.
I mean, it helps to know these things. You know, it's mm-hmm. kind of like, it's the same as the law. It tells us how we work with God's word and all that. It tells us what we want. And therefore, we have something to talk to the Lord about, which is, Lord,
right.
I messed it up.
Yeah,
I forgot to thank you for this pain.
This is personal. This is for me. Is I found that just throughout life, and it's great, the relationships are great, because I draw, we edify each other. And if you have the wrong relationship, you break down each other.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he said, you call on them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You find a good believer and you run with them so they can keep you built up and keep you strengthened. But I found out you can, when you look at other people and put them on a performance, whether it's your kids, wife, you look for your happiness in them, you will always be disappointed. And vice versa. If they look for their happiness in you, you will always let them down. And so I found out, I see now, I said, I don't put my wife on a performance anymore. And because I realized that at her best, she cannot fulfill my joy. Only Christ can feel that joy.
Happiness is just a form of different circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
It's circumstances. It's, if you do this, then I'm happy. If you don't, I'm not. And if I'm not happy, guess what? You won't be happy. That's how we are. That's just how it is. It's all... if then, that's performance. But when you see that, like I said, you don't trust me? I said, I trust you, but I don't put my trust in you.
Yeah.
That Make sense?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is you trust people, but like Jeremiah said, put not thy trust in man whose mm-hmm. breath is in his nostrils. You know what? Today is great. Tomorrow, he's gone.
Like you should never be surprised that someone does anything because
never,
we have the old nature in us
mm-hmm.
somewhere.
Never be surprised.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking about Annette and myself. You know, when we started out, I wanted to make her happy. And she wanted me to make her happy. But no matter what I did, I could never make her happy. And if it wasn't enough I could do to make her happy. But when she came to understand the Lord and the grace of the Lord, that hole that I could never fill got filled by him and really helped our relationship. Mm-hmm. Because now I didn't have to make her happy. We could just be together in the Lord.
That's, you know, and that's the secret is this. That's why, you know, and I'm no rocket science and I'm no scholar, but yeah, a lot of people call and I just go right to the book. And I say, you know, they always say, they want a husband. And I said, okay, what are you doing to prepare yourself? Said, what do you mean? I said, if you're looking for a good, godly husband, what do you think he's looking for?
Mm-hmm.
A tramp off the street? No, he could be looking for the same thing. What are you doing to prepare yourself for him? And you know what? Most women don't. I'm not saying that you guys don't, but they don't think that far. They want to, you know what, to keep straddling the fence and think they're going to get an angel to drop out of heaven. But if he's going to be looking for what? If he's that in the scripture, he's going to be looking at the guidelines, looking for what he should be looking for.
Mm-hmm.
He won't be at the bar looking for you. He shouldn't be.
Or the clothes.
So, you know what? That's one. But that's one thing where when Adam, when he did sin, you know what he did? He started when they were going through the before he sinned. He was looking through the selection process. And he said there was not a what?
Help meet
found for him. That's what when a guy doesn't feel his fulfillment,
mm-hmm.
he's back looking all the time. And it has nothing to do with you. It's him. You believe that? I said, this last thing. Stumbled on this show that I'm watching now. I just stumbled upon it. It's called Married.
On TV.
On TV. It's on TV. Yeah. Terrible. It's called Married at First Sight.
It's called Living in the Flesh.
It just like captivated me. I can't stop watching it. So they match these people up scientifically.
Oh, wow.
And the first time they see each other is when they're getting married.
Oh my gosh.
And then they have to go through certain time frames, like 6 weeks. And then after 6 weeks they, you know what, do you want to be married or do you want to get a divorce? And really? Just the process is amazing, you know, to me. But you know what I know when I'm watching them? I don't care what they put on paper, you got two sinners coming together.
Right.
Watch the fireworks. It's, you know what? You don't know what those people will do. And you got it all mapped out. Okay, this guy, he likes that, and she likes that. And even when you're filling that out, you don't even know what you're doing.
Mm-mm.
You know what? I liked it yesterday, and I don't like it today.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Am I right?
Yeah, people are fickle.
You don't know. You don't even know you.
Right, that's the whole deal.
Yeah, if you look at yourself like 20 years ago or something, just like what you liked then or what you did, you just don't even seem like it was really you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you know what Romans 7 says, that the old man is deceitful. According, he's deceitful according to he's the old man, which is
where you at?
Seven verse.
I know.
Maybe yes. It's probably not in seven. Yeah. That's why I'm wrestling with it. But it's a verse. It's in Ephesians. It's the old man, which is corrupt, according to the deceitful lust. You know, you can't say what you won't ever do. Because the moment you say that, you just deceive yourself.
I agree 100%.
I'm writing all this down.
I don't do that. I know what I'm going to do. You know, I would never do that.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
If you ever think you're on the right track and you're growing and everything seems to be going fine for a day or so, some sin that you hadn't dealt with in 20 years will pop up. If you think you have this sin licked, something else is going to pop up. It's going to catch you off guard. It's going to hit you broadside.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to have to deal with that. It never ends.
Are you saying there's a lot more thorns in our side than you thought?
It never ends.
I mean,
yeah. Always learn.
That's, you know, and when you get to know yourself, stop making statements like that.
Right.
You stop thinking like that. And you stop looking for him to be perfect. Or her, or whomever. Well, you know what? Did you hear about so and so? What? Oh, he. Okay.
Ooh.
He's a sinner too.
And it's like, I can't be shocked. Because that was me last week. Or next week. If I don't walk in this.
Got the t-shirt.
But when you do that, and that tribulation, patience, experience, then you could tell the next guy, say, what's my out? And like my pastor used to say, how do you do this? And he would say, just stick with the Lord, son. Just stay with the Lord. What does that mean?
I want a formula.
All right. You want three easy steps to get out of trouble.
Read your way through it.
And it doesn't happen like that.
Your way through it.
You do it because it's the word that works in you. Like the anointing. Like I said, the anointing.
Mm-hmm.
The word that empowers you and it comforts you while you're going through that.
We have a tendency, though, when we're going through those things, to totally forget about this. And it encompasses us. It takes us over.
Well, you become more selfish. Yeah, you get
right.
Selfish and...
You do just the opposite. You try to deal with it in your own strength,
right? Mm-hmm. It's like a reflex.
That's what... You know what? When Adam sinned, he tried to deal with it what? His own way.
Covered him up.
He said,
the blame game.
Yeah.
Something's wrong with me. Something's wrong with you. But if I cover it up, he might not know.
He's not going to notice that.
And then when that didn't work, like she said, the blame game is like, well, you gave it to me.
And the minute God said, where art thou? And that, he didn't mean proximity-wise. He meant relation-wise.
Yeah.
And that's when they went. Have you done? That's where they...
Yeah, the thing is, even Adam knew.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he made his own religion with the fig leaf.
Yeah.
But even he knew that wasn't wrong because he still hid from God.
Right. On his own.
Yeah.
He knew that.
On his own. And that's what you do. That's, you know what, we look at those stories and we get disconnected. But you know what? When you get in the pickle, what do? You can try to either figure it out on your own, or you'll be crying to God to get you out of this jam any way you can, God. Lord, I know you said you love me, and you do this for me if you love me. And he's like, wait a minute.
You do this for me? Boy, I won't do any bad things for you.
And the minute that deal's done, I've done it. I've made those deals, and I knew better. Anyway, back to Hebrews.
I got a question.
Yes.
Because I've often thought about this, but... All right, like, a few weeks ago you mentioned it's kind of like on Earth is kind of like our training ground, you know. It's like, you know, you've got some people who don't ever touch the book, some saints that don't touch it, some saints that can, you know, recite it. And you're saying that may, you know, we're going to all fulfill our position, but some may, I don't know, may have not higher ranking, but different.
Yeah.
All right. So that was one thing, because I was thinking, oh, well, when we get to heaven, we're just going to automatically know everything. We're going to get an upgrade. Everything's going to be perfect, blah, blah, blah. So that kind of changed that thought process. And then while we're talking through this, it kind of strikes me that, you know, we're in the body of Christ. We're going to be ministering saints. I used to think that, okay, when we get up there, everything's going to be happy, 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 joy, joy. We're not going to have a sad thought or anything. And that always made me think that, you know, maybe we won't have any memory of this down here. And I'm thinking, you know, it might behoove us to retain memories of what it was like in a corrupted world, in order to minister to others, to show, yeah, you know, I dreamed one time, like a daydream, like, you know, all of, you know, we're in the new kingdom, or we came down from heaven, we was hanging out in the new kingdom, and, you know, and the animals are walking around. All right, this is going deep, but, and so, and like, who's petting tigers and stuff, and then somebody's like, oh, the animals are so awesome. And I'm like, they didn't used to be. And then I started talking about, and I started talking, I was like, normally, instead of laying beside them, you'd be laying inside of them. And, you know, it's like, I was able, yeah, it was like, I was able to talk to that person, because it's kind of going to be polar opposites. Like, right now, we're a remnant, and we can, you go to talk to somebody about Christ, and they're like, psst, whatever. Now, in the kingdom, 1,000 years in, no sin, God's reigning, everything's perfect, and you try and talk to them about, oh, well, Satan's going to be loose for a season, and all heck's going to break loose, and blah, 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 and they're going to be like, psst, whatever.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I wonder if us coming from this corrupted place can act as ministers in that situation to warn them of what's going to happen. If that would, I know, I'm just like,
I don't know the verses that would allow that, but that's what you're right.
All right, now that's a rabbit hole.
She did say it was a daydream.
Yeah, I was just kind of like,
it's fun speculation.
Yeah, it's like. But, I mean, all of this can't be for naught, you know. It's like...
Yeah. Well, that's one thing.
His thoughts are much higher than ours.
Yeah,
thoughts,
it's
so
like...
We're just trying to figure it out in
right.
our own way.
And that was always the weirdest one to me, is just like, okay, if you're, you know, even, you know, when you're younger, you think of like, okay, you know, you, like she said, you'd be in heaven, you're going to be happy. Well, if some of your relatives and friends and people you know don't make it to heaven... It's like, you're like, well, how can you be happy that they're not with you? But to me, it's like, it just feels like the knowledge and stuff that you'll gain and understanding, it's almost just like
you'll
know in the position that you're in, and kind of like how the angels look at us, and, you know, but we'll be higher than them, so.
Stupid little mud pies.
You know, see, that's interesting. It really is, because you can't take the human element out of the new creation. For example, Jesus Christ is resurrected, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was a passage in Zechariah, and they're going to ask him. It says, where'd you get those? Where'd you get those
scars?
And he remembered. He said, these are they that I received
from my friends
in the house of my friends. Mm-hmm. When he told them to touch it, put your hand there, put it here. He remembered.
So maybe there's not that element of sad
boo-hoo. There's a lot that you just have to take by faith, but the scriptures are eternal. So we'll still be learning out of the scriptures on into eternity. But I was just hearing this week, some guy was talking about the realities of the afterlife, and he said, you know, the scriptures talk about being in the courts of heaven and people being dressed in fine linen made of silk and all this kind of stuff. He said, you know, you're not just going to be given things out of thin air. It's that people are making those things. Mm-hmm. There's a whole economy going on in another place. There's people working. There's people doing things. There's governmental positions. So it's not going to be that different, but
it's just going to be perfect. Yeah. It's not going to be corrupt.
Hopefully I'm not stuck in the mailroom.
I would like to say that already now in this world, I'm happy that I'm not around some of my relatives.
Well, true, yeah. I mean, I bet you retain, I mean, it makes sense that you retain your memory because that's history and this is history. Listen,
if he's your prototype, in Colossians, Jesus Christ is the firstborn from the dead. The firstborn, that word is the same word we use for prototype. Mm-hmm. The first of many. Now, if he has a memory, and he does have a memory, he did and he does, if he had a memory of what happened to him on earth,
that's cool.
There's a verse in the Psalms that say this: the angels rejoice at the conversion of one sinner. That was then. Mm-hmm. Okay, if you're a minister, if we have our new bodies, and like you said, are we going to remember this stuff or not? And if he just took you up there and completely brainwashed you, or, you know what, you have no recollection of anything.
La, 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 la.
You know what, he knew that what happened to him, he knew where it happened. When he went to them, he told them, he opened up the scriptures about everything back there concerning him to that point. And if you're, like I said, if you're created, you'll be like him, and I think, you know what, you'll be able to look back, and it'll be that much more appreciation of the position that you will have in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, now, and this is where, like Mike said, you can't explain all this. That's why, like he said, there's some things you just have to go to God in faith on. Is this? You hear so many stories. You know, we're going to be on the cloud and playing the harp.
Yeah.
And you think about this. Where did I get that from?
Mm-hmm.
And you'd have to say, yeah, I never read that in the scripture. No.
It's cartoons or...
Cartoons.
Yeah.
But he started saying there's, like Mike said, there's principalities, powers, rulers, dominion, might. He says, right now, we're fighting against spiritual wickedness in high places, in the heavenly places. You don't see that.
One day we'll be able to
see it. It's a mental. They want to keep you from finding out what God is really doing and what he really wants from you. And, you know what, keep us in the on the kid level, the DL. So you know what it's getting.
It's so funny because it's like people like these people read horoscopes and stuff. Oh, I gotta know the future, and it's like to even think about your own little measly future is one thing. When you know the future about what his plan is and what he plans on doing. I mean, it looks like this would be way more interesting.
It is.
It is.
To
us.
To get us out of the cloud and back down.
Sorry.
Which is fine. No, that's fine. But you know what? Right now, you know what? The guy said this. He said some people are so heavenly minded they're of no earthly good.
Yeah.
Until we get there. Until we get there, you know what? And here's a parallel. You said something in Galatians. Paul said this: if a brother be overtaken in a fault, whatever it is, you know, emotional, financial, spiritual. He said, "You which are spiritual, go restore such a one." He said, "In the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." And I say that because there's different levels of maturity. That's why he said, "You send a spiritual person. You don't just send anybody to a brother that's having an issue." Because he'll get there and he'll give you the wrong advice.
Mm-hmm.
You get there and say, here's what I am. And you say, okay, here's my problem. He said, okay, Mary, here's what you do, Mary. You get in your car. You put your stuff in the car. Or whatever they tell you. And it may not be the right advice. Or they may say, no, you know what? Stay there. You know, or say, well, Ed, you know what? Do this. Or let him go. And you say, wait a minute, that ain't quite line up with what Christ would do, you know, what the scriptures bring out. But you have to know that a spiritual person would know what's that good, acceptable,
the moral compass.
Perfect will of God. He would know what is the best option.
The right thing to do.
He would know. No, notice. He said that you might prove what is that good. That's good, right? Mm-hmm. Acceptable.
Yeah.
Perfect. Will of God. Wouldn't you want...
Send the spirit
first. But if you don't know what he wants, what would you give out?
What you think,
yeah.
Because that would be not the transformed point of view, but the conformed point of view, because he defaults to what the world says.
Mm-hmm.
That's all he has. He'll say, well, you know what? God might give you these options. He said, but since I don't know scripture, here's what I think. Take that money and spend that money.
Go to the casino.
Get those bills. You know, my sister died. We might as well keep. When I was young, I had just got out of college, and all my friends were buying Jeeps, cars, and I was like, this just doesn't make sense. Why would I spend that much? So I said, you know what? I'm gonna buy a house. So I bought a house. And my friends like, that's stupid. What you gonna do with a house?
They all want to crash with you.
But you know what? It took all my money was gone. I was like eating peanut butter and jelly for breakfast and lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And I had peanut butter and jelly and something to drink for dinner. But it was a struggle for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But. You know, my sister said, and I was getting my bills in, and I was paying my bills. You know, I was like, I can't not pay my bills. She's like, oh, she said, don't worry about that. She's like, if you don't pay it, what are they gonna do?
They'll take my house.
I was like, you know what? That just doesn't make sense to me. And you know, I said, you know what? The ones that I, you know what, because it was, she said, the department store. You know, pay the utilities. You don't have to worry about those department stores. And I was like, you know what? Now that makes sense. But I had one department store bill, and I didn't pay them for like the first month. And I was like, yeah. Then all of a sudden, when I saw the notice come back, I was like,
uh-oh.
That's what I like. They don't forget.
Penalty.
Right. That's what I said. You know what? about to get me locked up.
That's a joke, isn't it?
But anyway, all that because it's a uninformed mm-hmm. point of view. Well, when we deal with other believers, we don't want to give them uninformed information. Like Paul said, I would not have you to be ignorant. And the only way you can do that is to be familiar with what he's doing.
Exactly.
And I'm saying this in an accommodating way, is increase your anointing, so to speak, is increase your understanding of Scripture, of what God will and won't do.
Well, if we ain't going to get an upgrade when we get up there, then we don't need to have no rapture anytime soon because I got a lot of studying to do.
You know what? Don't you want to wait to enjoy it more here?
Yeah.
No, this is our job. It's here. Not mm-hmm. ministering in another world to other people.
Right.
It's ministering to people here and now. How can we capacitate ourselves for something else when we haven't capacitated ourselves?
Right.
I
know.
And that's what, you know what? This is so... This guy, he's the pastor at this different church. He said, I want to fill up Millington, USA Stadium. And I was like, okay. I'm like, you got like 15 people right in front of you. Mm-hmm. How about perfecting those people? You know,
grow exponentially after that. Compound.
They know 10 people you don't know. He knows 10 people you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you fill it up. You're not going to get just people coming out unless you're giving away something.
And you'll have more impact if you do it the slow way, that way, by networking out instead of just bringing them all into one spot at one time. You'll probably have a whole lot less success rate.
Quality.
Over quantity.
Not quantity.
That's what happened to you last Tuesday.
Like, well, the quality, right?
Like when you went in there and talked to the elderly class, and mm-hmm. then when they came back the next week and they mm-hmm. wanted
more.
That's, more the
and
quality.
That's the privilege we have down here, is to minister to each other. That's what I'm saying. We're nothing but an accumulation of our relationships.
Mm-hmm.
One last verse. I'm reading this. Well, we really, really like way off today. We
just, can I read one while you're going in there?
Sure.
Which is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2.
2 Timothy 2. Okay.
And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. And I think that's kind of what you
do. Why do you think he wants to do
two,
that?
Two.
So that he can spread the word. He's only one man.
What was that again? I'm sorry. 2 Timothy?
2 Timothy.
2.
2 verse 2.
Ah, thank you.
2.
What if we don't do that?
Other people to be ministers.
this is what I you know what I think about this every time I come here or wherever, whomever I talk to, whomever I meet, is Colossians. Chapter 4, verse 12. You know, I would say this before we close is, just extend a little grace tonight where we just kind of rambled on some things, but hopefully we can get a couple of verses that will help us out. 4, verse 12, he says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may what?
Stand perfect and complete.
In what?
The will of God.
All the will of God. You know what? And that's what I think about is our whole job is to help each other be perfect and complete in all the will of God. Prayers, teaching, speaking, loving. No, he said that. I got to read one more. Since he said that, Same book.
Keep it up.
Chapter 3, verse 12. He says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, vows of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. 13, what? Forbearing one another, and what? If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on
love, love, love. Charity.
Charity. Put on charity, which is the bond of what?
Perfectness.
Perfectness.
Completeness, maturity.
That's, you know what? Is, you know, a man's mature when he has your best interest at hand, mm-hmm. not his agenda, your agenda. He said, you know, above all those things, like, put on this. And then here's a man, he says, this man is laboring for you, that you would be perfect. Now, do you have that mentality? For the other believer, whomever you come in contact with?
When I'm in the spirit, yes. When I'm in the flesh, 8 to 5. Really?
Not quite.
No, I need work.
But anyway.
Work in progress.
Yes.
We're done. Next week, we're back on track, I guess.
That's where.
So let's pray. Father, we